Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. And we'll read together, please, at verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. God will, I'm sure, further bless the public reading of his precious holy word. As you approach the Acts of the Apostle and see the progress of the gospel, beginning at Jerusalem and then Antioch and Ephesus and Troas and Thessalonica and Philippi and Corinth, until it comes to Rome, we understand really the reason why God, through persecution, multiplied that indeed which was scattered. The purpose of God is seen in this particular chapter that begins by the formation of this church at Antioch, that begins by underlining to us the fact that it was born out of the persecution that arose concerning Stephen. There are four particular things in this section, dear saints. There is God's purpose in persecution. There is God's purpose in preaching. God's purpose in exhortation. And God's purpose in teaching. There is, of course, in this particular section here, the birth of a new assembly in this mighty city called Antioch. This city of beauty and culture, famous for its theatre and its drama. Poor sinners that were lost and caught up in this worldly system were visited one day by saints who were scattered because of the persecution that arose concerning Stephen. We're introduced immediately in verse number 19 to the activity of Satan. This person who in the world blinds the minds of men, 2 Corinthians 4, who binds the hearts of men, 1 John 5, who breaks the bodies of men, Matthew chapter 5, or the grip of this evil master that leads so many captives down the road to utter destruction. In the saints, he has desires, Job chapter 1. He has devices, 2 Corinthians 2. He has deceit, says Paul, we are not ignorant of his devices. And he devours, 1 Peter 5. He is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the enemy that day upon the Christian testimony, through a young man called Saul of Tarsus, who laid their clothes at the feet of a young man never thinking that when they put the godly Stephen to death, that God would use that means by which saints would be scattered and assemblies of the Lord planted. It is interesting that in a Joseph, the governmental dealings of God over the land, the affliction upon the servant, that ultimately lands in the purpose of God in a palace. And yet here, God is overruling in the power of the gospel. That which the devil sought to stamp out has multiplied and grown. The ranks that Satan sought to deplete has in fact grown with tremendous rapidity in the Acts of the Apostles. For indeed, the power of God is seen overall. He that is for us. We might have said this as we ended the last reading. He that is for us is greater than he that is against us. And we need to know, dear saint of God, the power of his might in our experience day by day. As we come to this chapter, it's interesting, of course, to notice that there are in the chapter unnamed preachers. Preachers with no names upon the card. Men that arrived in a place having been hunted by an enemy, homeless and destitute, many of them were. One would have thought that when they arrived there, they would have surely put their light under a bushel. One would have thought that with all the persecution and all the opposition and all the adversity that was their lot in that day, one would have thought that surely now, having found a new city, having found a new abode, having arrived in the pleasant city of Antioch, they would have failed to testify. But no, God had a purpose in the scattering of the people. For there were men who were earnestly interested in the spread of the gospel. There were people who were willing to testify in adverse conditions. And we might ask ourselves the question this day, are you and I prepared in the adverse conditions of life, when the enemy comes in like a flood, to raise up the standard of the gospel and indeed to present to men and women the only hope that they ever have for salvation? These unnamed preachers, my look at them in the Word of God, like that catalogue in Hebrews 11 we heard about last evening. Many are named, but there are many unnamed. Men of whom the world was not worthy, whose names God has withheld from his holy word. But in the glory, dear saint, we'll meet them. And in the kingdom, they'll have surely a place of reward. You don't need to be a prominent man to be a preacher of the gospel. And this chapter surely would teach us this, that these scattered saints arrived in Antioch and preached the gospel, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Interesting, in this chapter, the subject of their preaching was this, the Lord Jesus. I hope, dear preacher of the gospel, you'll give him his proper name and give him his proper title, for he is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many in society today who are happy only to name him Jesus. But says Stephen, there in the Acts, this says Peter, this same Jesus, whom you crucified and slew, is now become both Lord and Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't know why I'm quoting that verse. Perhaps even now there's a dear soul in this meeting. You're the subject of the friends of the prayers of your friends. You're the subject of the love perhaps of your parents, and you're not yet saved. And the only way you can be saved is to recognize your desperate need as a sinner and to recognize and bow before the Lordship of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear sinner in the meeting, if there is one, we appeal to you tonight to see that Blessed One as these early people in the city of Antioch saw, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And of course, five times over down this particular chapter, we read of the activity of the Lord. Yes, there is the activity of the devil. So often he comes in upon the work of God. So often he would seek to oppose the spread of the gospel. But don't forget to look in the Bible, please, of the overruling hand of God and the activity of the Lord in passages such as these. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And here among these Gentile peoples, the gospel has spread again. News is to take into the mother church there at Jerusalem. How timely the purpose of God. For Peter already had seen the conversion of Gentiles, and of course in the house of Cornelius in chapter 10, and had rehearsed before the church in Jerusalem that God too had visited the Gentiles, the overruling hand of God. And through the scattering, saints are reached, and through the persecution, Satan is defeated, and the spread of the gospel and the establishment of New Testament assemblies are set up by the mighty power and hand of our great God. It's interesting to see here in Antioch that they sent a man along the scene to the scene called Barnabas. What a lovely man this man really is. Barnabas, the exhorter man. The need for exhortation in young converts is absolutely tremendous. I thought we might learn a lesson from this chapter here. The need for the shepherd heart, the need for the exhorter first before the teacher is brought in. I thought, dear saint of God, here we had a very important lesson. And the lesson that the exhorter gives to the saint of God newly saved is this, that they cleave unto the Lord. That word for cleave is just to stick to Him. Stay close with Him. And I'm thinking these young converts in this city, against whom the power and evil influences of the world are coming in upon their young souls, their lives. And the pull of the world is so strong upon the saint. And the oppositions of the flesh with all their desires and evil hidden passions. Fighting and striving against the Spirit of God with whom they've been sealed. And the warfare in young lives newly brought to the Savior, as they desire deep down inwardly to press on to the Lord. But oh, the power of the opposition seems so strong. And God sends upon a scene for that occasion a man like Barnabas, with a ministry to warm the hearts of the saints, with a ministry to reach right down into the seat of their affection, and to make much of Christ, and to bring the Lord before them in all His winsomeness and glory, now to the saint as they did in the gospel to the sinner, that they in turn might respond and cleave unto the Lord. I'm sure most of us have learned this, that our safety from falling and failing is to cleave unto the Lord. There is no shortcut to that, dear saint. Absolutely none. No matter what age we might be, young or old in the faith, our salvation morally in this sad old world that will help us in our separation from it is to cleave unto the Lord. Tell me something in this meeting. When did you last speak with Him? When did you last consult the pages of this book and feed upon him? When did that your heart strings respond to that lovely person, the Lord Jesus Christ? When through the appealing ministry of the Word of God have you responded to go home to be determined to be closer and closer to him? I tell you this, that these conference meetings would be well worthwhile if you and I are drawn closer to the Savior. Well worthwhile would all the ministry be in all its variety if the end result was to produce in your life and mine a closer walk with him. This ought to be the great design of ministry. It's not only for our intellect, but it's for our feet, it's for our practice, and it's for our hearts. Ah, dear saint of God, Barnabas comes on the scene and he exhorts them all. He stirs up their affections. That's what the exhorter does. He stirs them up and brings them to see the beauties and the attractiveness of the Savior that walked the pathway before them in all the adverse conditions that he met in his pathway is nothing but an encouragement to the saint that will follow him. And so the exhorter comes upon the scene. It's interesting too that Barnabas is the kind of man that recognizes that there are others can take the saints further than he can himself. A lovely trait in the man. You know, some preachers think they know it all. And that's a very, very sad thing when a man arrives there. There's a need, dear saint of God, and Ephesians chapter 4, of course, would remind us of this, that while these gifts are moving in diversity, they are equally moving in unity. And they are moving together, recognizing each other's gift, and each other's experience, and each other's wealth in the Word of God. And to recognize that there are men that can take the saints along further, to develop their progress further than you can lead them in your limited ministry. Barnabas is that kind of man. I wonder, dear ministering brother today, if you're that kind of man. A man like Barnabas, not out for self-advancement, but out for the advancement and progress and promotion of the saints of God. He has the saints of God upon his heart. And of course, he goes for Saul. Travels a long way to get him, you know. Travels about 200 miles, he takes the journey, to fetch this man called Saul. This man, amazingly so, that he's now going to teach the saints of God. And yet, along there earlier in the book, he's the very man at whose feet they laid their clothes as they stoned that mighty pillar of the early church, the man called Stephen. And yet here, by the mighty grace of God saved, and equipped and furnished and fitted as a mighty teacher among God's people, to feed that which he once persecuted, to promote and multiply that which he once sought to deplete. And of course, Saul is brought upon the scene. And you know, a whole year passed. They had meetings, I take it, for a year. My word, I tell you something that has surprised me, and delightedly so, the appetite for the saints of God in this beloved land. I don't know how many hours you dear folks have sat under the ministry over these series of meetings. And then a few weeks' time, another series coming up, and it will be the same again. And you come back for more and more. A word of encouragement for your soul. A word to build you up. A word of teaching, edification, seen in Saul. Or exhortation, seen in Barnabas. And the need for comfort also to be given. And the saints come, and the saints gather. And how lovely, really, to be with you on these happy, holy occasions. And I tell you this, Paul comes on the scene, and the outcome of this ministry is that Christians, that disciples, were called Christians first in Antioch. There was a response in this young assembly to the word of God exhorted, cleaving to the Lord. For I do believe this, dear saint of God, that Paul, or Saul, comes on after the Barnabas. You see, the hearts of the people must be conditioned to bring in the teacher, Paul. Sometimes I feel we try to introduce saints to the teachings of Paul in the deep assembly lines, and the hearts of the saints are not really warmed yet to Christ. The ground is prepared to bring on the teacher, and he can come with all the ministry and its variety and its straightness and its demands. He can come on with it all if the hearts of the saints are first prepared and linked with Christ. There will be a ready reception to the word of God. And the problem why so many are despising the teaching of Paul in our day is very simply this: that their heart is not right yet with Christ. For I do believe the heart's either the part that makes us right or wrong. And when the ground of the heart is prepared and the winsomeness of Christ fills our vision and fills our gaze, then the teaching of Paul, with all its demands, will be happy and ready to respond to. Christians, disciples, were called Christians first in Antioch. Three times over in the New Testament the word is mentioned, we know. But I thought that this was a particular lovely setting. I noticed, first of all, that it was disciples that were called Christians. It's interesting that you never read of disciples in the epistles. You read of them in the Gospels and you read of them in the Acts, but you don't read of disciples in the epistles. It's interesting too that it's disciples that's called Christians. We use this word Christian rather glibly in our day, dear saint of God. It's a disciple that's called a Christian. It's a follower, one that has readily already bowed to the demands in following Christ, and he's called a Christian. It's not a Christian first, but it's first a disciple. There's a principle, I believe, in that. But I do believe here too that this word called, mentioned four times elsewhere, is really called of God. And I'm wondering, dear saint of God, Luke chapter 2, in regard to Simeon, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. That word revealed is the same word here as called. Hebrews 8 and 5, in regard to Moses, he was admonished by God. That word admonished is the same word here is called. Hebrews 11 and 7, regarding Noah, he was warned of God. That word warned is the same word here as called. And on each occasion it's called of God. And I had wondered in this chapter, well, it's nice if the folks around us call us Christians. It's nice to be recognized in the world as a Christian. Nice to be noted for that. Your testimony, at least, ought to demand that from the folks around us. They ought to know and be willing to call us a Christian. But I think this passage is something rather deeper than that. I think God looks down and sees in this city of Antioch the work of the gospel making progress in the lives of the people of God. And these very people are featuring the features of his own blessed Son. And the expressions of Christ are seen in the lives of the saints. And it's God that's pleased to call them Christians. And so the chapter goes on to see that these saints respond to the ministry, not only in their lives, but in their giving. For to meet the need of saints up there in Jerusalem, they were willing to respond. Those saints that had suffered a famine, as God had come over the scene and the scene is altered again, and famine is in the land, and saints are passing through persecution, times of deep trial, times of famine, of want and need, And through the ministry of the teacher, there is a ministry to which the saints respond to meet the need of fellow saints. And the truth of the body comes out, and I believe Paul would teach that. These saints are happy to send monetary gift to these dear needy saints in Jerusalem, which they sent to the elders of the church there. God is over the scene, we say amen to all that our dear brother has said. He is overruling in the lives of men and individuals. He is overruling in the testimony of the saints. And the gospel, despite all our weaknesses, is still going into every corner of the land. And the souls are still being saved and will go on until the day when he comes to the air to take his waiting people home. Look up, dear saints of God. Our eyes and our hope is in the living God, the sovereign Lord of all. He is, of course, the sovereign ruler, the blessed and only potentate, and his Son, the King of all kinging and the Lord of all reigning, will one day rule in universal government and power across the globe.